The old evangelist D.L. Moody was right when he said, "The Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible." Listening and obeying God's Word is a protection on our lives. That's one reason I'm so glad that you're here today at Through the Bible, ready to get into God's Word with Dr. J. Vernon McGee. Now, as you probably know, we're in the book of Hosea on our 5-year journey through the whole Word of God, and we're going to learn today how the northern kingdom of Israel turned away from God because they forgot His Word. Well, not only did they forget it, they wanted nothing to do with it. They completely turned their backs on God's ways. That's when God's man Hosea stepped up and said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge of God's Word." And then he relayed God's chilling consequences. "Because you forgot the law of your God, I will also forget your children, and I will change your glory into shame." Wow, I don't know about you, but that sober pronouncement makes me sit up and listen. We're in Hosea chapter 4, beginning at verse 6. As you get there in your Bible, let's lean into Dr. McGee's introduction on the reasons why God will judge His people.
Now God says that He must judge the nation. And He says that He will change their glory into shame. Now the glory of Israel was actually the temple with the Shekinah glory upon it, and His visible presence with the nation, and His definite leading of them, and their witness to the world of that day of monotheism. In a world of polytheism, they worshiped the living and the true God. That was their glory. It brought the Queen of Sheba from the ends of the earth. Now what is happening is this. God says, "I will remove my glory from you. I'll remove my blessing from you. And I will judge you. I'll let the enemy come in upon you and take you away." And, of course, the enemy is going to be able to say, "Look, they said they were God's chosen people, and look what's happening to them. And apparently their God's not a very strong God." Friends, we're seeing today in this land of ours something very similar to that. God is judging many churches, and He's closing many doors today. You can look about you in this land of ours and see that God is still judging. And we are inclined to say, "Isn't it a shame to see a decline in a certain church?" Well, maybe God closed the door. We need to recognize that only God today can afford to judge His own people. And He does that.
Now let's jump into our study in Hosea 4. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of hearing Your Word. Help us listen and do what pleases You. Thank You for allowing us to be a part of sharing Your Word with the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Now, we got down last time through the 6th verse of the 4th chapter of Hosea. And again, I'd like to say that this 6th verse here of this 4th chapter is considered one of the most familiar verses that we have. It's one that is quoted a great deal. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And that's the way it opens. I went through it last time, and I'll not go any farther than that. But it was a lack of the knowledge of the Word of God that was the background of the sin of these people. The minute that, Christian friend, you get away from the Word of God, you could not live a triumphant Christian life by any means. You could not live well-pleasing to the Lord. And I do not care how many of these method conferences you go to that have all these little gimmicks that if you do this and do that and do the other thing, that things are going to work all right for you in your home and in your place of business and in your social life, and everything will work out right. My friend, the Word of God makes it very clear that it's not by these little gimmicks, these little methods, it's by a knowledge of the Word of God. Now, that is as clear as the noonday sun in this book and certainly in other places. Now, will you notice as God continues to bring against the northern kingdom his judgment upon them, that is, he hands down a decision, he's going to judge them, and he has now proven to them his case. They've broken the Ten Commandments. He went down the list, and they had broken them. Now he says, as they were, verse 7, as they were increased, so they sinned against me. In other words, as the nation increased, and God had promised to bless them by multiplying them. He told Abraham that. But all it did was just bring another sinner into the world. And after all, that's what happened when I came into the world. Just another sinner came into the world. But thank God, the grace of God reached down and somebody gave me the Word of God, and I was able to trust Christ as my Savior. But these people, they have an ignorance. They have no knowledge of the Word of God. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. God says, I'm going to turn your glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart on their iniquity. They not only sin, but they like to brag about it. As a young fella, ran with a pretty fast crowd in the bank I worked in, and we always liked, especially on Monday morning, to brag about our weekend, what we did. And you know what it was, either to get drunk or commit adultery or something like that. That's what you brag about. And they not only sinned, they bragged about it. And there, verse 9 now, chapter 4 of Hosea, and there shall be like people, like priests. The unfortunate thing is that the priesthood had sunk down to the level of the congregation. Now, I have always believed, and as you've heard me say, that I started out in the ministry. I wore a Prince Albert coat and a wing collar. I looked like a mule looking over a whitewashed fence. But I soon gave that up. I dressed just like the man sitting out in the pew, and I'm no different than that man in the pew. But I want to say this, that I want in the pulpit to give out the Word of God so that I don't sink down to the level of that which is the man of the world. And today, there are many ministers, they're the good guys. One man boasted to me, he says, he comes out to our golf club, he plays golf, and I'm for that. I do that. I think it's great to mix with folk like that. He says, after the game, says he goes in the bar room with us, has a drink with us, says, he's just one of the fellas, says, I sure do like him. Well, I wonder what God thinks about him. Like people, like priests. And I'll punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings, for they shall eat and not have enough. In other words, famine is coming to the land. And who would ever have believed that this great land of ours, just last year, a few years ago, that there would be no scarcity? Who ever heard of it, that you couldn't buy meat at the meat market. You couldn't buy bread, that there would be a scarcity of anything. May I say to you, I'm not sure. I think God judged this in the Dust Bowl many years ago. That's when I entered the ministry. And nobody listened to God then. Then we had to fight World War II. God judged us. And we didn't come back to God even World War II. So we've been fighting somewhere ever since. Just can't give it up. They shall eat, not have enough. They shall commit harlotry and shall not increase. You know, there's one thing, friends, about adultery. And I know today that I'm talking to a great many people that have had this in their mind, in their heart, because we're living in this day. And you can take it from a fellow that one time in his life for his sake. You can never, never enjoy it in a way in which God really wants you to until you can enjoy it in marriage. And when you can put your arms around the woman that you have been loving, and you can say to her, I love you above everything else in the world. May I say, when you can say that, my friend, then there'll be an increase, and it'll be wonderful. They were committing adultery then, and they're doing it today, but actually there's really no satisfaction in it. It's just a sort of a temporary release, and you hate yourself after that, and I know that, and some of you know that, my friend. And God knows that, because that's what he's saying here. God's spelling it out for you. They shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit harlotry, adultery, and they shall not increase because they have ceased to take heed to the Lord. Harlotry and wine and new wine take away the heart. Last time we gave you all these statistics about liquor in this country today, and nobody, and I mean nobody today, is lifting a voice against this. And I don't think I've said very much about it, but I sure have said a whole lot the past couple of days, and from time to time we do mention it. Harlotry and wine and new wine take away the heart, my friend. And part of our problem in Washington today are these two sins, harlotry, adultery, and liquor. They're the two problems in our government today. That's the reason that men lie. That's the reason that men will do crooked things. And that is not confined to one party or just one group. The whole crowd is guilty today. One writer said that in Washington, you don't know who to trust. May I say to you, what a sad commentary on our nation today. Don't tell me the new morality is working. It didn't work for Israel. They got away from the Word of God, and they said, we'd try something new. And they went in for it. The Northern Kingdom, you see, they had sin galore. They put up two golden calves, and with that worship of Baal, that was connected with it, the grossest forms of idolatry and the grossest forms of immorality. Now, will you listen? Verse 12. My people ask counsel of their idols, and their staff declareth unto them. For the spirit of harlotry hath caused them to err, and they have played the harlot, departing from under their God. Now he's speaking here of the harlotry, spiritual adultery, which is turning from God. They went to inquire of idols. And today, we find people running after the gurus of India. Well, they haven't done much for India, by the way, but yet we've had a crowd running after them. And someone has said that one of them that came over here has said that very candidly, he came for the money, and that it was nothing in the world but a religious racket as far as he was concerned, yet people went after it. People are going off into this type of thing today, and there's actually the worship of Satan today. I have here a clipping that comes from Daytona Beach, Florida. A group of Satan cultists tortured and beat a 17-year-old youth to death, believing he was an undercover narcotics agent, police said Wednesday. May I say to you that worship of Satan today is certainly not helping morality by any means. And these people, going into idolatry, idolatry was leading them into gross immorality. Now, let me keep reading here. And they sacrifice, this is verse 13 now, chapter 4. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains and burn incense upon the hills under oaks and poplars and elms because the shadow of them is good. That's where they put their idols, was on top of a hill under a grove. And you hear a great deal in Scripture. And they found out today, archaeologists, that the center of worship of idolatry was in these groves. It was cool there, nice place to go. Therefore your daughters shall commit harlotry, and your spouses shall commit adultery. You see, the worship of idols, and we today have turned to idolatry, covetousness, all of this today, the greed of this country today, has caused many a family to try to get on in the world. They want to move to a better neighborhood. They want a swimming pool. They want a boat to take down. And they say, we're doing this for their children. And then all of a sudden, their children take off. And there are thousands of young people today that are wandering up and down this country and all over the world. I saw them in the Hawaiian Islands. I talked to three young people in Constitution Square in Athens, Greece, two young men and a young lady, and I'm sure that none of them were beyond their teens. One of them could have been 20. And there they sat, and they were then under the influence of drugs. I tried to talk with them, and I tried to find out who they were. And they said, we're nobody. We don't count. We've dropped out. What's happened today, friends? What's taking place today? Why, the problem is back there in the home. We're idolaters. We're worshiping the almighty dollar. We've forgotten God. We've turned away from the living and true God, and we no longer worship Him. And we've not turned to a Savior that can redeem us and help us. Now, verse 14. He says, I will not punish your daughters when they commit harlotry, nor your spouses when they commit adultery, for they themselves are separated with harlots, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore, the people that doth not understand shall fall. God says ignorance, so the law excuses no one. And because these people have gone off, I'm not going to judge them for the sin they're committing right now. I'm going to judge them because they've turned from the living and true God and from His way. My friend, as I said to a man, and I met him on a golf course, by the way, and he joined our foursome. He soon left us when he found out we were three preachers. And this man made a statement. Well, he said that he guessed that he was a sinner. He'd done this, that, and the other. He said, yes, I guess I'll go to hell. And I said, brother, you know you're not going to hell because you commit these sins. He says, what do you mean? I'm not going to hell because I thought that's what you preachers said. I said, this preacher never said that. I said, you're going to hell because you've rejected Jesus Christ. These people were being judged not because they had become harlots. They were judged because they've turned from the living and true God. Now, will you notice, he says here, though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend, and come not ye unto Gilgal, neither go ye up to Beth-Aven, nor swear the Lord liveth. God says, I'm going to hold Judah back. I'll not judge Judah yet. And Judah, don't come up and worship these calves that they put up here. Now we come to something that's quite interesting. Verse 16. For Israel slideth back like a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Now, friends, let's look at what really backsliding is. A great many people think backsliding means that you have become a Christian, joined the church, and then you drop back into sin, and that's backsliding. Now, may I say to you, that's not backsliding the way it's used here. And God illustrates it so you can't miss it. For Israel slideth back like a backsliding heifer. Now, I'm very happy the fact that as a boy, I had the privilege of living in the country and in a little town. And I think I've mentioned this before. There's a lived next door to us in southern Oklahoma in the little town we lived in, a rancher. He had a big ranch, and he had two boys, and they were both about my age, and we three played together. We used to ride these heifers out in the lot, and they would, you know, tie a rope around, as we said in that day, a belly band we'd put on them. We'd hold on to that, and then they'd buck us off. Now, every now and then, this rancher would load up, this was in the days before the automobile, in a wagon. He would load up these heifers to take them to market or take them out to the ranch. And he had a great big board, that is, it was a thing constructed out of boards that he'd put up at the back end of the wagon. And it was a runway that you just try to run the heifer up there. Well, what he'd do, you'd put a rope around the heifer, and then you'd push her from the back. And as you'd get the heifer up, she'd go up part of the way, then she'd stiffen those front feet. She'd just put them out stiff. And you know what would happen? You couldn't pull her. She'd start sliding backwards. That's what backsliding is. Backsliding heifer. They were stiffening their front feet. And instead of being led of God, they were slipping backward all the time. And backsliding means when you turn your back on God and you stiffen that little neck of yours and that little mind of yours and you say, I'll have nothing to do with God, you're backsliding when you do that, you see. When you refuse to go the way God wants to lead you. Now he calls Israel here a backsliding heifer. There are a lot of backsliding heifers today, and bulls also, by the way. Now, let me read the next verse. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Now, we come to another word here. The word backsliding is mentioned three times in this book, and you'll recall it's only Jeremiah and Hosea, and they spoke to a nation ready to go into captivity, accused them of doing this, refusing to be led of God, refusing to come to God. Now, Ephraim, that name occurs 36 times. He picks out one of the tribes of the 10 tribes in the north and applies it to all 10 of the tribes. And I, frankly, have never been able to figure out just how God uses that term. Is he using it in a way that is it a term of endearment, or is it a term of ridicule? Now, this time through Hosea, I've come to the conclusion that it's a term of endearment. It's a pet name. You see, Israel in the north had really no name as a nation. Judah in the south was really the nation. And these 10 tribes had revolted, you see. And now God gives them, I think, a pet name. And you'll find all the way through it, it'll occur 36 times. Ephraim. And he says this in, I would say, a longing sort of way, but with a note of finality. He says here, Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone. God says there comes a day in a man's life that if he keeps on being in a backslidden condition, refusing to listen to God, there'll come a day when God no longer can speak to that man. Now he says to them, your drink is sour. You'll become an alcoholic if you keep at it, brother. And it's not a disease. It's a sin. Their drink is sour. They have committed harlotry continually. Her rulers love shame more than glory. And the sad thing today is that we have men in government in high places instead of using a language that is clean and chaste. They love to cuss, and they love to drink. They love the shame more than glory. The wind hath bound her up in its wing. They're carried away by every wind of doctrine, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. God says, I'm going to make them ashamed before it's over with. Well, that brings us to the conclusion of chapter 4. Begin chapter 5 next time. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Dr. McGee convinced me of the joy and peace found in living a quiet, righteous life before the Lord. How about you? We're about midway through our study in Hosea. If you'd like to continue to study Hosea on your own, pick up one of Dr. McGee's paperback commentaries with Hosea and Joel together in one volume. It's available on our online bookstore at ttb.org. So how long have you been on the Bible bus? Are you fairly new, or have you been in your seat for a whole trip, or maybe two or three trips through the Word of God? Well, we want to get to know our fellow passengers on the Bible bus, so we've started a new feature on our website, ttb.org, and in our newsletter called On the Bible Bus. Here's what I want you to do. On a big piece of paper, poster board, whatever you want, just write how many years you've been on the Bible bus. That is, how long you've listened to Through the Bible and where you listen, as in what state or even what city you live. If you're outside the U.S., tell us what country you're in as you study with us. For instance, in my picture, I'm holding up a sign that says, On the Bible Bus, 22 years, Pasadena, California. And if you want to be extra creative, well, you can take your picture maybe on a bus or near a bus or with a picture of a bus and just let loose and have some fun and let's celebrate our love for God's Word together. The pictures don't have to be fancy. You can even just snap it on your phones and email it to us at BibleBus@ttb.org. You can mail your picture in too. Just write to Through the Bible Radio, Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. And as we get them, we'll post them on ttb.org and pick some to include in the newsletter. It's just a fun way to celebrate our journey through the Word of God. Again, email your picture to BibleBus@ttb.org. See you next time on the Bible Bus.
Unto him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain.
This program has been brought to you by the faithful friends and supporters of the worldwide ministry of Through the Bible Radio Network.